Hi, thanks for joining me again with the Apologist Bookshelf. Gary Zacharias here. I've been working my way through one book over the last several podcasts. It's called Confident Faith by Mark Middleberg, and I'm down to probably about the last fifth of the book. He covered reasons why we can trust the faith of Christianity to be true, and now he's covering what he calls 10 barriers to belief, subtitled How You Can Overcome the Impediments That Block Your Faith. So as he starts this section, he says, wise spiritual faith that he's been advocating is a commitment of trust. So he doesn't really like to call it faith, and I don't blame him. You know, you think of blind faith. But he says this is a commitment of trust. It's based on solid evidence, but it's incomplete. No doubt about it, it is incomplete. And he said this kind of faith, he contrasts to the fuzzy and the misguided definitions that are floating around in our society today. So, for example, you've got people who are wishful thinkers. That's that kind of relativistic, it's true for you sense. That's lacking. He said another kind of faith is not as good. It's called therapeutic faith. It's based on comfort, emotional positivity. It makes you feel good, but it could still be false. And then he says there's something called unfounded belief, blind faith. And he said that's what Richard Dawkins talks about. And this is a quote from Dawkins. This is a good quote. Faith is a great cop-out, the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate evidence. Faith is belief in spite of, even perhaps because of, the lack of evidence. Faith is not allowed to justify itself by argument. Now that is what a lot of people think of with faith. He says there's also an irrational faith. He said its approach, this is great, he says it's an approach that's summed up in a Sunday school kid who defines faith this way. Well, hey, faith is believing in something even though you know in your heart it couldn't possibly be true. And of course, Middleberg says, no, he's contrasting that. He's arguing for confident faith. What is that? It's belief and action that's based on good logic and evidence, trustworthy revelation, and sometimes, he says, even substantiated intuition and credentialed authority and tested tradition. So, he says, confident faith moves in the same direction indicated by the facts. Yeah, and he said, that makes sense to me. He said, but it's a commitment or step that takes you further than the evidence alone can carry you. So he's not saying it's a slam dunk, 100% proved kind of situation. He said, no, you do move beyond where the evidence is, but you're moving that direction because you think there's plenty of good reasons. So let's move ahead here. So he reviews those arrows that he says pointed to Christianity. Design in the universe, fine-tuning in the universe, information in DNA, the beginning of the universe, the sense of morality that we all feel, the way the Bible is a consistent religious book, it's a good historical book, it's a preserved work of antiquity, it's verified by archaeology, it's an honest religious book. Arrow 11, he says, we believe in miracles, fulfilled prophecies, Jesus' sinless life, his resurrection, the emergence of the church, the changed lives of the early skeptics, the willingness of the disciples to die, the changed minds of a lot of modern skeptics, the testimonies of just untold numbers of believers, and finally, it's true because Jesus said so. So he calls those arrows that point toward the truth of Christianity. So let's move now toward the section here of why do people, what kind of barriers, let's put it that way, what kind of barriers do people have that hold us back from believing and moving out in our faith? So he's going to cover 10 of them, and I'll just do a few with this podcast. One barrier, he says, is just lack of information. People are just not sure. It says you can't will yourself into believing something if you don't understand it or you can't agree with it. So he said, if there are too many gaps in your understanding or you still have a lot of questions that you just don't have answers for yet, he says, slow down. Do whatever it takes to find the necessary information. He said, maybe you need to go back over those 20 arrows. But he's got a lot of resources. He said, take a look at those resources. So at this point, let me stop with what the book is talking about and give you my pitch. And that's pretty simple. It's not going to cost you anything. I've got a website, apologeticsforlife.org. You can go there. I've got a lot of videos. I've got podcast information. I've got audio things that you can download, all for free, just something that you may find of value to you if you would like more information on all aspects of Christianity. So that's apologeticsforlife.org. You can contact me if you have any questions. And then I've had a couple of people already start in, and actually one already finished, working on an apologetics certificate. It runs through a lot of really good apologetics issues. It's a free program, and you work in your own speed. You work at your own place, and you've got a book that you can use that I give you for free, a PDF. You answer some questions. You can watch videos if you prefer. You can listen to audio podcasts and downloads. And so you have a lot of things that I'd be glad to share with you that you might find useful. So apologeticsforlife.org. You can contact me, gary.zacharias@gmail.com. And you can certainly check on that apologetic certificate. I can send you a lot of information on that. So he says, there's number one. What is keeping some people from Christianity or causing them to not step out more confidently? Lack of information. How about number two? What's another barrier to a real strong faith? He said, this one's kind of hard to admit. He said, people just have old presuppositions and prejudices. They approach new information and they got their blinders on. He said, we've got to be lovers of truth. We've got to open our minds and let the evidence lead wherever it will. He said, Christians can be closed-minded. So he said, here's what he would suggest. Raise your doubts and questions, but do a little extra reading and research. He said, if the faith is built on real facts, as Middleburg claims, he says it'll stand the test of honest scrutiny. So maybe it's a lack of openness. You just don't want to admit that there may be some things out there you're not sure of. So he said, be a lover of truth. Number three, what are some other barriers? Number three is intellectual doubt or disagreement. We see a lot of that. He says, you know, the number one thing that always comes up, the problem of evil and suffering. That always comes up. That's what people always worry about or argue about with Christians. He said, some people will contend that because you've got evil out there, there can't be a good, wise, and powerful God. But Middleburg says the Bible teaches the reason God hasn't yet stopped evil is because of his patience. I mean, think about that. If you want God to stop evil, that's us. That's all of humanity. It's not like pointing a finger out there and saying, well, there's evil out there. That person's bad. We should be pointing to ourselves as well. But he said, you know, there's an even more fundamental question when you're talking about the problem of evil. Here it is. What is evil if you don't have a moral lawgiver? If there's no moral lawgiver, there's no objective standard of right and wrong or good and evil. It's just personal preference. It's just, oh, I don't like that. He said, we know that things like rape and murder really are wrong, and that points us to a universal standard bearer. And he says, well, what about suffering? He said, it's very difficult. It is hard. Nobody has the complete answer and a surefire answer. He said, first, nothing that anybody can say is going to make you feel good if you're going through some difficult times. He says, if you're in pain right now, if you're suffering, he said, I don't want to trivialize what you're enduring. I'm not going to offer quick, simple answers to you. He said, you can skip down. Come back to these thoughts about suffering at another time. And he said, may God comfort you right now as you're going through it. But he said, you know, the kind of suffering that we face in this life was actually predicted by Jesus. Jesus described a world where there was sin and conflict and betrayal and war. He said, it's good to know that the faith system represented by Jesus is truthful. He doesn't gloss over the harsh aspects. Christianity faces evil head on. It doesn't say we're basically good or that we have a spark of divinity and we're living in an increasingly utopian world. No. Jesus said there will be pain and suffering. But here's the good news. Jesus added, but take heart because I have overcome the world. He says, additionally, Jesus didn't just warn us about suffering in this world. He experienced it himself, greater than we can imagine. He cared for other people, didn't have a home. He faced resistance. He faced ridicule, rejection, scorn, people trying to kill him. But he was trying to teach people. Finally, 3 years of doing this. He was betrayed by a friend. He was abandoned by his disciples. Falsely got accused by the religious elite. He was tortured. He was killed in a brutal and awful fashion between two thieves. He said, you know, if anyone understands unjust suffering, or if anyone can offer us help and comfort in our times of need, it's Jesus. He endured some unthinkable things. He said, let's come boldly to the throne of our gracious God and receive his mercy. One more thing that he says about pain and suffering, he said, that points us logically back to God, kind of like the problem of evil does. What's he talking about? Well, he has a quote from C.S. Lewis. And so allow me to read this, because this is a longer quote, but it's so good. So he said, when Lewis was an atheist, he used to ask, well, if a good God made the world, why has it gone so wrong? And then he said, this is Lewis, my argument against God was that the universe seems so cruel and unjust. But how had I got this idea of just and unjust? A man does not call a line crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line. What was I comparing this universe with when I called it unjust? If the whole show is bad and senseless from A to Z, so to speak, why did I, who was supposed to be part of this show, find myself in such violent reaction against it? He said, in the very act, this is still Lewis talking, the very act of trying to prove that God did not exist, in other words, that the whole of reality was senseless, I found I was forced to assume that one part of reality, namely my idea of justice, was full of sense. He says, atheism turns out to be too simple. If the whole universe has no meaning, we should never have found out that it has no meaning. I thought that was really interesting. He says another objection to Christianity is, remember, this is the section about the barrier to confident faith, and this barrier has to do with intellectual doubt or disagreement. So he says, what's another objection to Christianity? People say, yeah, but it's the apparent contradictions in the Bible. He says, critics like to point out, well, hey, one gospel account says there's an angel at the tomb. Another one says there are two angels. How can you trust the story of the resurrection when they can't get that right? He said, well, first of all, most of those contradictions are not serious problems. Let's take that angel example. If there were two angels, then it's accurate to say that there was an angel. Notice the second witness doesn't say only one angel. And he said, secondly, critics that complain about these contradictions, now he said, slight differences in eyewitness accounts of any event are actually earmarks of their truthfulness. And J. Warner Wallace, oh, is he a great apologist. His books and all are so good. I love his stuff. He wrote Cold Case Christianity. He's a cold case detective. He said, he started reading the Gospels. He said, they sound like eyewitness reporting. They don't sound like they were made up. So contradictions, it's not a problem. Let's go to one more barrier, and we'll make that the last one for now. Well, I don't know. Maybe we can get the first five, and then we'll do the next five next time. So here's barrier number four, lack of experience. He said, we would love to have a genuine spiritual experience. He said, that's appropriate. He says, how do we do that? How can we look for the God we want to know and experience? He said, the Bible has all sorts of clues. For example, what does the Bible tell us? How do we get close to God? Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. The Bible also says anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists. You got to start with that. And that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And Jesus encourages us to keep on asking. There are a number of other practical ways that Middleburg talks about to seek after God. He said one is just get alone, get quiet, talk to him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to strengthen you, to make his presence real to you. He says another way to experience God is in the presence of other Christians and people who are seeking God, maybe like a home Bible study or a spiritual discussion group. He said even in bigger surroundings like worship services at church, that can be a good place to feel God's presence. All right, let's do one more then. So those are four barriers to faith. Here's the fifth one, then we'll do the next five in the next podcast. Lifestyle issues. He said, a lot of people say, following Jesus, I'm going to have to change aspects of my life, and I really don't want to let go of them. He says, you're going to look for all sorts of excuses. He's got a great quote here from Aldous Huxley, that author, wrote Brave New World. He was an atheist, and here's what Huxley had to say. God bless him, here's something honest. He said, I had motives for not wanting the world to have a meaning, consequently assumed that it had none, and was able without any difficulty to find satisfying reasons for this assumption for myself As no doubt for most of my contemporaries, the philosophy of meaninglessness was essentially an instrument of liberation. The liberation we desired was simultaneously liberation from a certain political and economic system and liberation from a certain system of morality. We objected to the morality because it interfered with our sexual freedom. So do you hear that? That's a great admission. He says it started with his attitude, his what he wanted the world to be like. And because he had these certain drives, then he was able to look at Christianity and other things out there and twist it so that he wouldn't accept it. That's really sad, but it's honest. He says, you know, people just sometimes resist God because they know they're going to have to change or give up something. He said, here's the question. What would you need to change or let go of? He said, whatever that issue is. He said, I'm confident that the surpassing benefits of knowing God and his forgiveness and leadership are going to far outweigh what we might need to alter or give up. He quotes from Paul, and we'll end with this. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. What a challenge, huh? To have that attitude that Paul has. So there you go. There are five barriers to faith. We'll do the next five in the next podcast. And again, please contact me anytime you have a question or an issue that you think I can help you with. I've got lots of resources. Feel free to go to apologeticsforlife.org. You can work on an apologetic certificate if you'd like. Again, contact me, gary.zacharias@gmail.com. Okay, thanks. I hope you're having a good day, and we'll do another podcast soon.